Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Two questions. I have two questions for you to ponder today. The first, what do you place your confidence in? And the second, why does God love you? And what do you place your confidence in? Why does God love you? Two pretty simple questions, but our answers can reveal a lot. We'll return to these questions in a bit, but first let's turn to our text from Philippians chapter 3. So St. Paul had an impressive resume. We see some of it in our text. An Israelite, circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew from the tribe of Benjamin, trained as a Pharisee in God's law, a zealous persecutor of the church, and blameless in living according to the law. Pretty impressive. Some of it isn't good, like the whole bit about persecuting the church, but even that he did very passionately. Even so, Paul lists here several impressive credentials and qualifications. However, within the context of his letter to the Philippians, he's downplaying his own resume. In fact, he considers it to be loss and rubbish. So why is he even mentioning it? Why is he mentioning his resume here? Well, the thing is, most of Paul's resume is, in and of itself, a good thing. Yes, the bit about persecuting the church was bad, but the rest of his resume was actually full of good things. That he was circumcised on the eighth day marked him as belonging to Israel, God's chosen people. This shows that he belonged to a godly family. His lineage as a Hebrew from the tribe of Benjamin was also a good thing. One's heritage and belonging to a specific community bound by blood and faith can be wonderful gifts. And Paul had been trained as a Pharisee. Acts 22 records that Paul received his Pharisaical training from the prestigious Gamaliel. Now, we tend to give the Pharisees a bad rap because of their antagonism towards Jesus. But if we take a step back from that, the Pharisees were, at their core, pious and devout Jews who sincerely cared about their faith in Yahweh. They were theologically trained scholars, and Paul had received this theological training. And theological education is also a good gift. Paul also mentions his zeal for persecuting the church, which, of course, was bad. But to have zeal can be a good thing if directed toward the right thing. And finally, Paul states that he was blameless in following the law. Now, he certainly didn't keep the law perfectly, but he took it seriously. And striving to live according to God's law is a good thing. So again, Paul's resume in itself was, for the most part, full of good things. Having a heritage and belonging to a faith community, having an advanced theological education, and zealously living according to God's law are all good things to be treasured. Paul's resume is pretty impressive. Paul even acknowledges as much in verse 4. He says, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." Paul could place quite a bit of confidence in himself and his accomplishments. Yet there was obviously a problem. Paul's confidence was misplaced. For really, to place confidence in something is really to place one's faith in something. Paul had turned the good things of his resume into ultimate things. That is, he had turned them into idols. Instead of placing his confidence in God, he placed his confidence in his heritage, education, skills, personality, and ambition. Paul's resume, as good as it was, had been twisted into things that became destructive. Paul's idolatry, his confidence in himself, led him to destroy the church, and unbeknownst to him, his relationship with God. His false confidence resulted in destructive behaviors. This is what happens with idolatry. Often the things we idolize are in and of themselves good gifts from God. Career, family, leisure, education, sex, property, etc. These are all great gifts from God. But when they turn into idols, They're no longer the gifts that God intends them to be. Idolatry always has fallout. Idolatry damages our relationship to the object that we're idolizing. It damages our relationships with others, and it damages our relationship with God. Idolatry has many consequences. And truthfully, all sin is a form of idolatry. Every sin ultimately breaks the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. God doesn't want to share our worship with any other thing. He doesn't want us to fear, love, and trust in anything else above Him. And so through faith in Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, God is constantly removing the idols in our hearts. He wants us to place our confidence solely in Christ and nothing else. God is in the business of idol removal. And this idol removal is an ongoing process throughout our entire lives. Sometimes it's slow and gradual. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes God gently crushes our idols. Sometimes He's not so gentle. However God does it, it's ultimately for our good. He crushes our idols for our sake. It's better for us and for those around us when we worship the Lord our God alone, placing our fear, love, and trust in Him above all else. God will have us place our confidence in Christ alone, and He works to remove the false confidence that we place in anything other than Christ. And this is what happened to Paul. He had such a high confidence in his resume, and at the height of his confidence, on the road to Damascus, Paul met Jesus. Paul's self-confidence led him to hearing those terrible words from Christ. "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" On that road in his conversion to faith in Christ, God stripped Paul of the confidence he placed in his resume. This event is what Paul's sharing with the Philippians, his experience of God's idol removal. And so he proclaims, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." God stripped away his false confidence and replaced it with confidence in Christ. And Paul shared his resume with the Philippians not to boast or brag, but to show that he considered it all to be lost. And he sarcastically states that he's very qualified and credentialed, but now he refuses to place any confidence in his qualifications or credentials. When compared to Christ, it's all loss. It's all rubbish. But in his loss of everything in which he used to place his confidence, he's gained something far better. He's gained Christ. And now, as he says in verse 10, he seeks to know Jesus all the more in the power of his resurrection. And throughout his life and ministry, Paul would learn of, again and again and again, Christ in the power of his resurrection. For time and again, Paul would be forced to place his confidence not in himself, but solely in Christ. Whenever he would experience loss, he would gain Christ. Through the thorns in his flesh, through the multiple beatings, through the many imprisonments, through the countless other hardships that he experienced, he would learn to place his confidence only in Jesus. And in doing so, he would know, in part, Christ and the power of his resurrection. Where he was weak, there Christ was strong. Christ was his only confidence, and Christ was with him in the hardships and loss. So returning to my first question, what do we place our confidence in? Well, our immediate answer should be Christ. But by our actions and behaviors, we often reveal that we place our confidence in anything but Christ. We each have our own personal resumes, filled with good gifts, skills, and accomplishments. I've been Lutheran my whole life. I've been a member at this church for so many years. I have this degree or job, family, ministry, house, skill, ability, and so on. Whatever its content, we all have resumes filled with credentials and qualifications. And these can be very good things, good gifts from God. But do we place our ultimate confidence in these things? Even though we do believe in Christ, we so often and easily begin to place our confidence in these other things. Even though we believe in Christ, we often drift towards placing confidence in that which is not Christ. Our thoughts, words, and actions reveal this. When we use our resumes to prop ourselves up, when we use God's good gifts for selfish gain, and when we use our credentials and qualifications to belittle others, we're misusing God's gifts by placing our ultimate confidence in them rather than the one who bestows the gifts. And often, when we place our confidence in such things instead of Christ, a consequence of such idolatry is an attitude of entitlement. I deserve fill in the blank because I am fill in the blank. This belongs to me because of my position. I should get things my way because of my status. Such an attitude of entitlement is not God-pleasing. This is what Paul's teaching against in Philippians 3. For here and throughout the Scriptures, God speaks against such prideful entitlement. It's the antithesis to the humility that we see in Jesus. And really, an attitude of entitlement has no place in the church. An attitude of entitlement really has no place in the lives of Christians. None. We all have our personal resumes filled with God's wonderful gifts, but when those resumes are used for personal gain, selfish interests, exploiting others, or with an entitled attitude, those gifts lose the purpose for which God gave them. We, like Paul, should keep our personal resumes in their proper place. That is, because we know Christ, because we have gained Christ, we should consider them loss and rubbish. For underlying such an attitude of entitlement is the thought or feeling that God loves me because of this thing I have in my resume. And so we come to the second question I asked. Why does God love you? For often when we place our confidence in something other than Christ, we begin to believe that God loves us because of that thing. God loves me because of blank. Paul believed God loved him because of his impressive qualifications and credentials. But that wasn't true. And God stripped away the false confidence he had in those things. Jesus revealed God's love for Paul as pure grace, completely undeserved, yet completely given love. Paul did not and could not earn God's love. In standing before the love of God, Paul's resume was complete loss. It was all rubbish. And so it is with us. God most assuredly loves you. But God doesn't love you because of any of the things in your resume. He doesn't love you because you've been a Lutheran your whole life or come from a family that's been Lutheran for generations. God doesn't love you for your ability to love and serve others. God doesn't love you because of your education, theological knowledge, skills and abilities, or your job. He doesn't love you because you give X amount of dollars to charity or you do your best to live a moral life. He doesn't love you because you've been a member at St. John for so many years. He doesn't love you for your passion for ministry or because you're a called church worker. These are, of course, good things, good gifts from God. But God doesn't love you for any of these things or anything else that might belong to your resume. God loves you solely because He is a gracious, merciful, and loving God. He loves you on account of Christ and what He's done for you through His death and resurrection. By this we know love, that Christ laid down His life for us. God doesn't love you because of you. God loves you because of Him. The Newsboys have a song that states, He doesn't love us because of who we are. He only loves us because of who He is. God graciously loves you regardless of what is or isn't on your resume. And because God loves you, because He's given you the gift of faith, you have truly gained Christ. Your confidence is solely in Jesus. And with this gain, Christ will make Himself and the power of His resurrection known to you. In closing, I'd like to return to Paul's resume one more time. Even though it became for him loss and rubbish upon his conversion to Christ, that doesn't mean Paul never again used any of it. In light of gaining Christ, the content of his resume was put back in its proper place, therefore allowing Paul to use those gifts and skills appropriately. Instead of using his credentials and qualifications for selfish gain, they were now used in service to others. Paul continued to be a Hebrew of Hebrews, but instead of something in which he placed his confidence, Paul leveraged his heritage to minister to his fellow Jews. The theological training that Paul received as a Pharisee certainly was not discarded, but now it was all seen through Christ. And Paul used his theological knowledge to preach and spread the gospel. His theological education became centered in Christ, and it is revealed on every page of his New Testament letters. And Paul's zeal in persecuting the church was transformed into a zeal for growing the church by spreading the gospel of Jesus. While Paul's resume became rubbish as something in which to place his confidence, by placing his confidence in Christ, it was then used appropriately for the sake of Christ and in service to others. And the same is certainly true for us. Christ transforms our resumes to be in service for the sake of others. We no longer need to place our confidence in our own credentials or qualifications. Instead, Christ frees us to use those good gifts to serve our neighbors. Because of God's love for us, we can view our personal resumes differently, in a new way. We view them in light of Christ, the one that we have gained, the one in whom we place all of our confidence. Christ has made you His own. Keep pressing on to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.